Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Will Fuller gave us an update on his condition today.
I feel good just taking it day by day, entering a treatment room, trying to get it, you know, to feel as best as possible.
And if it continues on this track, you think Sunday night you'll be able to?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, I don't know if Bill O'Brien's all that thrilled with Will Fuller self-diagnosing.
He's definitely not.
I smell a Dr. Fuller cut coming on tomorrow.
He's definitely not.
But Will Fuller, who missed the second half of the Colts game with the hamstring injury, I don't want to put too much stock in just one game from one rookie player, but the game that Kiki QT had against the Colts kind of softens the blow a little bit. It softens my panic factor when it comes to the Fuller hamstring just because of, I'm not saying QT is Fuller, but he certainly unlocks a lot of things in this offense that were not available to this team prior to him getting on the field.
Zero doubt about it. I mean, he had a huge game, exceeded expectations, and really, I mean, made the draft pick look like a steal.
A steal,
a great move. I mean, that is what GMs and I don't know who all is, you know, what all goes into the decision to draft guys here in Houston, but whoever made that decision, his coming out party this last week made those guys look like a genius because he's a great fit. Not only did he have a big game, I mean, hell, he's a great fit.
Yeah,
with this personnel.
They got five receivers active on the roster. Unfortunately, he's one of four still dealing with a hamstring issue on the injury report.
It's almost like they're trolling Luke Richeson. Like, whoever puts the injury report together, they're like, you know, I'm tired of hearing about this cafeteria and all this fitness stuff and yoga and Pilates everybody's doing to stay fit in the offseason. I'm just going to float some quasi-phony hammies out there just to keep old Richeson in line.
It's every week it's a knock-on-wood kind of thing because, I mean, we know Phil Fuller had to leave the Colts game early because of it.
His is the most concerning one, and QT also because it took that long, but QT looks healthy.
Yeah.
So there you go. So Will Fuller feels like he's trending in the right direction. I'm nervous.
You should be. Yeah. He can't stay healthy.
Yep. So a lot of the players were asked at media on Monday about this Cowboy game coming up. They play once every 4 years in the regular season, the Texans and the Cowboys, which, I don't know, before we get into this, the chatter from the players about this game, how do you guys feel about that? I would love for the league to find a way to, whether it's a 17th game or whether it's somehow shuffling the deck on how they do the schedule, to be able to accommodate some of these rivalries that are obvious rivalries where I think geographically two teams and two fan bases would love to play every year.
Clint, you can speak to this obviously better than we can, but the sense I've had since these conversations began many, many years ago is that these games mean a lot more to Houston than they do to Dallas. I really don't think the average Dallas sports fan considers Houston a team they get fired up to beat on any level, whether it's Rockets, Mavs, Rangers, Astros, or Cowboys, Texans, because it feels like I'm going to go ahead and use the word, and you can call me a Dallas hater if you want. I probably am. But there's an arrogance up there that doesn't really – there's more of humility in Houston. There's humility in Houston. There's arrogance in Dallas. And I think they feel like they have bigger fish to fry than anything that comes out of Houston. Kind of like A&M Texas back in the day. I mean, it's ironic now that Texas is the one that wants to continue that rivalry, and A&M saying, nah, not so much. Because back in the day, A&M lived for it like Texas lived to play Oklahoma.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the fan base, obviously, and the owners, I think it matters.
I think you're right. Yeah.
The players, I don't think could, I mean, in this today's age, these guys that play ball, I mean, the rivalry and the real hate strong is a strong word, but hate for other guys and other teams, I just don't think that exists anymore. But I tell you, you hit the nail on the head. There's definitely an arrogance up there. There's definitely a humility here when you talk about Houston versus Dallas. And I don't think it's necessarily a Houston-Dallas thing. I think it's the entire league and Dallas. I think that, quote-unquote, America's team, I think that rubs everybody wrong that doesn't play for America's team. And I don't know. Dallas is a very, very special place to play football relative to the spots that I've been. Nobody compared. I mean, I went to the Dolphins organization, the Denver organization, spent some time at least working out for some other guys, and it's just not even it's not even the same ballpark.
Sure. It's Hollywood.
And I just think that that rubs people the wrong way. But every time a player gets cut or gets the opportunity to play in Dallas, he talks about, I'd love to play for that team. So I think, generally speaking, the rest of the NFL probably rubs him a little bit the wrong way.
I think you're right.
Here are a few of the players on the game coming up this weekend. First, here's Deshaun Watson.
I mean, this is pretty much a battle of Texas, two Texas teams. And, you know, Houston want to beat Dallas and have the bragging rights. So, you know, we got to go out there and do our job and try to get those bragging rights so the whole city of Houston can, you know, hold that weight, you know, for a year.
All right, so that's Watson. Here's
I feel like Sean, that should have, at the very end, he should have added in something like, or at least that's what I've been told.
Yeah. Deshaun sounds off the chain. He sounds livid about this upcoming matchup. Here's Clowney on the matchup.
This is a big game this week, which all of them are big, but this one pretty big. It's a home game. We need to win at home. Going against a rivalry, to us a rivalry, because Dallas, Houston thing. So, like I said, we got to be ready for the matchup this week and come out here and fight this week.
There's at least two players who are at least kind of tipping their hat to it. I think here's J.J. Watt, who I think reflects probably more what the mindset is in the Texans locker room right now.
We're 1-3. We need to win. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, we need to keep winning. We need to build off of the momentum we had from last week. Obviously, it's an in-state game, which, I mean, it means there's a little bit of something there. But, I mean, more than anything, we need to win. I mean, we need to win football games.
I think it's really tough for anything to develop into a rivalry. Attitudes of cities aside, I think it's really tough in the NFL when you only play a team once every 4 years, because there's only like 10 guys on the Texans who were even here the last time. The Texans played the Cowboys in 2014 the last time they played. I don't think... I would be hard-pressed to name more than 10 guys that are on the team that were on the team in 2014. There's just so much turnover in the NFL.
Well, I tell you, rivalry or not, regardless of where the fans sit here in Dallas, at the end of the day, today, present time, right now, where the Texans sit, this is a huge opportunity for them to win a football game and dang near make people forget, a fan base and the media nationally, forget about the slow start. Being 1-3, you want to turn this thing around from 1-3. Even though I think this is a much better team than a 1-3 football team, I still can't wrap my head around how they're 1-3. But you win this football game, and you're 2-3. You just beat the Cowboys. You're loaded with talent. I think you got fewer people, significantly fewer people, talking about that slow start and the first couple of disappointing losses.
Yeah, I think JJ put it best. There's something there. Can't really deny that, the whole Houston-Dallas thing. But if you're going to prioritize, it comes below. We need to continue digging ourselves out of the hole. It's a home game, as he said. Hey, it's a primetime game, too. I know guys get geeked up for that. There's a lot of reasons this is a big game, but I'd put the Houston-Dallas thing at about third or fourth, maybe.
Well, mathematically, it's one of the four least important games on the schedule.
No question.
Right, because it's an NFC game. It's not going to factor into any of the tiebreakers, probably. So from that standpoint, it's not as important. It's important for this team, though, because they can't parse out. Right, you're 1-3. You can't go, well, this game's more important, this game's less important. Yeah. You just need to freaking win football games right now. As far as the other Dallas teams go, Rich, I agree with you on the Cowboys and the Texans. Like, I don't think the Cowboys are, and I don't think the fan base up there thinks of this game nearly as much as the Houston fan base does. I do think the other sports, there's more juice. I think there's
Dynamo
serious.
Dynamo FC Dallas, no, is that where you're going?
I wasn't, but you're right. I'm just going with the ones you named.
That is actually kind of nasty, believe it or not.
They've kicked fans out of the stadium before. Yeah, right. No, so that one is nasty. Yeah, so shout out to Chris Kennedy.
That's right.
So that's that is one. But the two that you named, I do think there's some juice to the Rangers and the Astros now that they've both had turns being good. In this rivalry, and they're in the same division, they play 19 times a year.
It's better than it used to be.
I do think there's some juice to that one, and I think there's a little bit to the Rockets and the Mavericks as well, with Mark Cuban and the the signing of Chandler Parsons and things like and Mark Cuban is just a generally annoying person to begin with.
But I think generally speaking, it means a lot more to Houston than it does to Dallas.
Which one? Just in general?
Everything in terms of the whole Houston-Dallas sports rivalry. Yeah. I think it means a lot more to Houston than it does to Dallas. And like I said, there's an arrogance up there. There's a humility down here. And that's as it should be. I mean, they deserve to be arrogant based on all the success they've had, particularly in football, obviously, even though it's been a long time.
Yep.
And here in Houston, championships have been few and far between.
Sure.
They have. Were you on the team when they played the Texans in the inaugural game?
Yeah.
What was the locker room like after that game?
It was the same way it was a lot when I was there, brother. We were 5-11 for three straight years, so there was a lot of boys.
Yep.
Wonder what they got to eat and drink on the plane.
But hey.
25 years since they've won, roughly 25 years since they've won a championship. It depends on your definition of elite. If elite means you contend and win, contend for and win for championships, okay, that's one way to define elite. The other way is Jerry Jones's way, and they're the only franchise on the planet worth $5 billion.
Yeah. Speaking of, did you guys watch the Football Live, Romo?
Haven't caught it yet.
I watched it last night, and it just dawned on me. You talk about not the lack of success over the last 25 years. Boy, they were really close two or three of those years
they
with
were.
Romo, man. And it was, I mean, I didn't remember. I mean, obviously, I'm a fan, and I watch it, and I just didn't remember how consecutive it was and how close they were and really how good they were relative to the past Cowboy teams, and just you just go, golly, that hurt.
They had one really good year with Wade up there, right?
Yeah. I mean, at one point, Romo bounced. They went 13-3, and I believe that was a year. I don't know if my numbers are exact, but I believe they had 12 Pro Bowlers on that team, and that was when you go, man, if you can't win it all with 12 Pro Bowlers, you can't win a playoff game with 12 Pro Bowlers. Damn, something's wrong. Something. There's a disconnect somewhere. But that was a great piece they put together with Will Romo.
Let me ask you, as an ex-Cowboy, and I've been meaning to ask you this quite honestly. It's been my opinion since those championships in the early 90s that the number one thing holding the Cowboys back is the fact that their owner is their general manager, that the person who pulls all the purse strings and makes all the important decisions for the franchise, who does not have a background in personnel and team building, is the guy with whom the buck stops on football decisions. I consider that an organizational fatal flaw. I don't know if you feel as strongly about that.
Yeah, Rich, I don't know enough about that process. I mean, I obviously know Jerry and Steven as close as anybody on the outside does. But I don't know enough about, man, is it just two guys that they own the team and they don't have the eye for talent, or is there a disconnect in the scouting department and the GM? Or, I don't know enough about why. Because it's hard to argue when you got the Wittens and the Romos and the Dez and the Torrell. You got all these guys. They can play. Why it didn't all come together, I don't know.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.